John Bachman, who pierces people's face. The K is for the kill, L is for the lover, and the M is for the mutiny, and I wish it didn't happen.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my drum?
Now the N is for not, oh no, my phone's just sinking. The B is for the peg leg that keeps me standing up. A Q is for quantum leap, R is for the rum, and the S is for the scurvy, which I wish I didn't get.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg.
That's underneath my boat. And B is for Mukitas, who plays a sour note. W is Tiasis, X marks a spot. Why? Cause I'm a pirate.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my grog?
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Thursday, September 27, 2012. Palestinian fighter dies in Gaza due to earlier wounds, while settlers uproot olive trees in the West Bank. These stories and more, coming up. Stay tuned. The Al-Qassam Brigades, the arm wing of Hamas movement, announced Thursday that one of its fighters died on Wednesday evening due to injuries he suffered during training 2 days ago. The brigade said that Nimr Saad Al-Madhoun, 29, was seriously injured during what it called a jihadist mission several days ago. Al-Madhoun is from a Sheikh Radwan neighborhood in Gaza City. In other news, similar armored Israeli military vehicles invaded on Wednesday at night an area east of Jabalia town in northern part of the Gaza Strip. The army fired rounds of live ammunition at random while similar Israeli military choppers flew over firing flares. In the West Bank today, Israeli settlers stormed the village of Burin in northern West Bank and uprooted 60 olive trees owned by local farmers. The villagers reported that the settlers stormed local farmlands with a bulldozer, uprooted the trees, then took the trees and left. Staying in northern West Bank, a number of armed extremist Israeli settlers attacked on Wednesday night two Palestinian youth in Ain Abu's village. The army arrived at the scene and kidnapped the two residents. Local media said that the settlers attacked two Palestinians while picking up olives in their own orchard, and added that Israeli soldiers arrived at the scene and kidnapped the two Palestinians instead of removing the settlers who were attacking them. Local sources reported that the attack carried out by the settlers is the latest in numerous escalating attacks targeting the residents and their property. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Thursday, September 27 news roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by Hussam Kassis and me, Ghassan Badnoura.
Afghanistan, 26th of September. NATO is reporting the deaths of two soldiers of unreported nationality from an insurgent attack at an undisclosed location in eastern Afghanistan. There are news reports that a suicide car bomb was followed by small arms fire and a rocket attack, all aimed at a patrol defusing a bomb on the side of the road in Laghar province. Afghanistan, ongoing. Most Chinese workers at the Inak copper mine project in Laghar province have fled from Taliban rocket attacks. The mine is one of the government's flagship projects. Unknown if this mine or an additional copper mine is the mine that would destroy the ancient Buddhist site of Mez Ina, a massive walled compound of ancient temples, monasteries, and thousands of Buddhist statues. If it is, and the Taliban is responsible for stopping the mine, that will be quite interesting in light of the destruction of the giant Buddhas by the Taliban in early 2001. Iraq, reported 27th of September. U.S. Special Forces have been deployed to Iraq on an unspecified counterterrorism mission. Meanwhile, the U.S. is negotiating with the Iraqi government for permission to return other small units to Iraq for so-called training missions. What? Sending U.S. forces back to Iraq? Mr. Barack Obama, that's not why people voted for you. Now is the time to pull the plug, bring all the troops home from Afghanistan and again from Iraq today. This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. In New York City, a right-wing group called the American Freedom Defense Initiative went to court to force the New York City subways to display posters reading, quote, "In any war between the civilized man and the savage, support the civilized man, support Israel, defeat jihad." These posters imply that all Muslims are savages. This is a vicious slur against every Muslim on the planet, not just Muslim fundamentalists. On the 25th of September, Egyptian-born journalist Mona Eltaway was arrested in New York City for using pink spray paint for covering up these offensive hate speech posters in a New York subway. Another woman supporting the offensive racist posters tried to block her paint, but she was able to get another shot of spray paint in every time her opponent left an opening, and eventually this confrontation attracted the cops to the scene. Here's a sound from a video of the entire incident.
Who are you?
My name is Pamela.
Okay, can you get out of the way, Pamela?
No.
Oh, you're Pamela Geller.
No.
No, which Pamela
are
you then?
Tell me, Mona.
What
right
my way.
Do you have to violate free speech?
I'm not violating it. I'm making an expression on free speech.
No,
if you don't want paint on yourself, you should get out of my way.
You do not have a right.
I do, actually, and I'm doing it right now. And you should get out of my way. Do you want paint on yourself? Do you really?
Okay, fine.
Excellent. Defend racism. That's
you
right.
You have a lot of nerve.
Put your body between me and
you
racism.
You have a lot of nerve.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't have nerve. You know what I have? I have an understanding of racism.
You are violating free speech, Mona.
I'm not. It's clear. I'm not violating.
You are violating free speech.
I am expressing myself freely against hate and racism.
This was an approved ad, Mona.
I really don't care.
Approved ad, Mona.
I don't care. Are you? You know what? Get off.
You're harming me.
Get off. I'm not touching
Mona,
you.
You're harming me.
Are you filming this?
You are spraying
film
me.
This. Get
you are
off
me.
Me
with
get
this.
Off me or I'm going to go get the police.
Go get the police.
Get off me.
Stop you.
Fuck you.
My God. Stop it, Mona.
Get out of my way.
Stop it, Mona.
I am not going to stop it.
Stop it.
I am
Mona,
not.
Hilda, hurry.
No, get
Mona,
my name
Hilda,
right.
Hurry.
Get my name right. My God, you sound like a film, a parody. You sound like a parody. I can push you too, you know?
Stop her.
You're under arrest.
Stop her for what she's doing.
Let me slow down.
Mona, stop it.
I will not put it down.
You will put it down. You're under arrest.
For what?
For what?
For what?
You're under arrest.
For what?
Turn around.
For what? Tell me what I'm under arrest for. For what? I need to know what you're arresting me for. It's my right to know what you're arresting me for. It is my right as a U.S. citizen to know what you're arresting me for. What are you arresting me for? Tell me. Tell me what you're arresting me for. Is everybody watching, what is he arresting me for?
What?
Yeah? Well, tell me what it is. I want to know what the charge is. I seriously want to know the charge. I'm expressing myself freely, and I hurt no one. I hurt no one. This is non-violent protest. Non-violent protest. You see this, America? This is non-violent protest. This is what happens to non-violent protesters in America in 2012.
She got in my way.
I asked the photographer to get out of my way peacefully, and she refused. Ask them.
This is non-violent protest,
and I will not stop protesting non-violently. I didn't hurt anyone. There was no one here when I came. She would have helped this lady. I asked her to get out of the way.
Because it's my right to non-violently protest, and she put herself between me and the poster.
If you're on Twitter, tweet that Mona El Tahawi was arrested. MONAELTAHAWY. And my arrest.
How old are you?
I'm 45. And I'm Egyptian American, and I refuse hate. What do you mean that's why? And I will continue to non-violently protest hate, and that is hate and racism. This is what happens in America when you non-violently protest.
That's true.
Yeah, especially in New York City, where the NYPD is now being sued for first leading 700 Occupy Wall Street protesters onto the Brooklyn Bridge last year, then turning around, setting up orange nets, and mass arresting everybody. The New York Police Department is notorious for trying to arrest any protester on any issue, on any pretext possible. New York's idea of freedom of speech is shut up and do what you're told, and put up with whatever official propaganda is on display, such as the posters in the New York subway that claim that Muslims are savages. On the 22nd of September, a march in D.C. by a Ku Klux Klan-affiliated faction of the neo-Nazi Aryan Nations ran into a roadblock. To be precise, it ran into repeated literal roadblocks by protesters who linked arms, blocking the road to prevent them from passing. Okay, the street's blocked!
Get out of our town!
Several times, police read out mass arrest warnings. Several times, protesters leapfrogged to the next intersection. But at blockade number three, protesters stood their ground and called the cops on their bluff.
Warning number three, they're being called on it. The passage is well and truly blocked. Nazis have been held here for a while. Instead of trying to arrest, they just want to push for the horses. Crowd charges back.
Some of those that work forces are the same that burn crosses.
All of the Nazis were wearing Ku Klux Klan patches on their uniforms, and one of them even had a Ku Klux Klan flag. That means this was effectively a Klan march, as well as a Nazi march, in Northeast Washington. It was really something to see cops on horseback defending the Ku Klux Klan. I guess some things haven't changed since the days of the slave catchers. The next development was a hordes of black-helmeted, black-uniformed riot cops from the U.S. Capitol Police lining the route the Klan was going to march on and Nazis were going to march on all the way to their fenced-off protest pen in front of the west side of the U.S. Capitol. Even this didn't keep protesters from getting in the streets ahead of the Nazis and Klan. There were only 16 Nazi Klansmen, after all. and the Klan-affiliated Nazis were heckled in their protest pen for the duration of their very short rally. That's it. That's the sum total of the Nazis. Walk away from the counter-protest. Like the cowards they are. Even with all these cops, and they still have to back off. There's a Klan patch. Klan. That looks like a Klan flag, too. Shortly after the Nazis began their rally in their fenced-off steel cage protest pit, they ended their rally and retreated to their bus to be escorted out of town. Some of those that work forces from the same that burn crosses. On the 24th of September, Andy Warr and other progressive activists protested in front of the FBI's headquarters against raids on activist homes and grand juries, demanding nothing less than a complete end to house raids and grand juries targeting peaceful protests. Protesters called out the FBI for the return to most of the illegal COINTELPRO practices that were banned after the 1976 Church Committee report on illegal domestic spying during the Nixon years. The summer 2010 raids on anti-war activists in the Midwest have not been forgotten. Neither is the courage of every single person subpoenaed to the grand jury in a related case, not one of whom would testify. The witch hunt is essentially dead in the water due to the courage of the grand jury resistors, but the FBI still refuses to close the case. The more recent Seattle grand jury, the courage of Matt Duren sitting in jail for refusing to snitch, and the blizzard of punishing retaliatory strikes against corporate America and law enforcement may be more on people's minds at this point. Still, 2010 raids and resulting witch hunt aimed originally at activists who had visited Palestine has not been forgotten. What's in the package that they refuse to accept?
It's a letter. Look, it's very frightening.
Doesn't go
Watch
boom
out.
When you open it.
Oh my gosh, it's words. It's words. Oh, I had
nothing went bang.
Anyway.
Nice little fun
it's
fact.
It's a letter that the man would not take to give to the director of the FBI. Just asking him to stop the investigation and keep his hands off our activists.
Committee to stop FBI repression.
Yeah.
What do we want?
Stop the witch hunt.
When do we want?
Now, back in the day, during World War I, the FBI versus free speech held the gun. Hard-fought constitutional rights on the run, the Palmer Raids, the first, but not the last one. Fast forward 40 years to the real Red Scare. McCarthy did a number, but the FBI was there, dog. They were everywhere. They knew what you wore to bed. They prosecuted people for the thoughts in our heads. They tried to drive MLK to suicide. No one even knows the full story about why Brother Malcolm died. Fred Hampton killed in his own house. Inside, they even bombed Earth activist Judy Barry's car and lied. And those lies go all the way up the chain of command. The FBI routinely lies to judges when on the stand. The director, the head honcho, the man in a Senate hearing in late July 2010 said his lies were unplanned and that he didn't understand that it's the FBI versus the Constitution. institution, we the people, are the ones the Bureau has been abusing. Inside churches and activist groups, they be cruising on civil rights and national security confusion. Raiding the homes of peaceful activists, setting in motion predictable plot twists, arresting democracy to find her risk. This miseducation of a gullible nation shows the ruination of our country's creation. You can say be patient, but the Bill of Rights hastens to fall to pieces before our very eyes. Do everything you're told until you realize our rights got sold. Beware the O5. Into any group goes the FBI's eyes. Intelligence about legal or even constitutionally protected behavior, the prize. Panopticon, Stasi, informants every size, shape, and color. You're being watched by Big Brother right now. Every email, every phone call, before national security, our Constitution falls. The FBI's probably got informants watching these halls. It's the FBI versus the Constitution. We the people are the ones the Bureau's been abusing. Inside churches and activist groups, they be cruising on civil rights and national security. Confusion demands for private information misused, gagging recipients of First Amendment fused attached to the Patriot Act national ruse. First, we lose the privacy that enables speech. Then we let our government expand its reach into your bank account, your medical records, your teacher's feedback, your ISP, your browsing history, your mental seed bank, the library down the street. If it were still open, the Bureau threatens democracy. I'm not joking. Our rights are in the scope. We are all on the road. Poke it, three letters. MGI, it stands for the next generation for the FBI. Deporting immigrants en masse with ICE, while we citizens pay an equal price. Less demand for housing, less tax revenue, crops rotting on the vine. What else do? We take the local cops' arrest data and we give it to the feds, but take a look at what the FBI itself said. If we start with immigrants, it'll give the plan cred that already led well beyond mass deportation. Instead, the Bureau has a file, a price, on your head, your fingerprints, your iris patterns, the sound of your voice, a national trackable ID imposed without choice. There's blood on our Constitution. But check it out, it's still moist, right? It's the FBI versus we, the people. Don't stoop, don't grovel to no government steeple. We can FBI, come on, stop.
COINTELPRO 2.0.
Together we're gonna stop.
COINTELPRO 2.0.
Here is a list of direct actions taken against corporate America and the government since the 5th of August in solidarity with anarchists who are refusing to testify before a Seattle grand jury conducting a witch hunt against anarchists. 5th of August, St. Louis, Missouri, attacks on ATMs. 6th of August, Atlanta, Georgia, banner drop. 7th of August, Athens, Greece, stenciling and graffiti. 10th of August, East Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, banner drop. 15th of August, Paris, France, lots of tires slashed. 17th of August, Vancouver, British Columbia, banner drop. 21st of August, Besançon, France, bank attacked. 22nd of August, San Francisco, California, yuppie businesses attacked. 28th of August, Oakland, California, bank attacked. 29th of August, call in the U.S. Attorney. 31st of August, New York, banner drop. 9th of September, Vancouver, British Columbia, noise demo and grocery store expropriation. 12th of September, fax in the U.S. Attorney. 13th of September, Vancouver, British Columbia, Community Policing Center attacked. 13th of September, Seattle, anonymous hackers claim shutdown of U.S. Attorney's phone. 17th of September, New York City area, rail line sabotaged. 17th of September, San Francisco, California, banner drop. 18th of September, Vancouver, British Columbia, yuppie restaurant attacked. 19th of September, Seattle, bank attacked. Hey, feds and grand juries, still think threatening people with jail time and holding Matt Duran in jail for refusing to snitch is a good idea? You may have heard that the D.C. government just gave Pepco 60% of their proposed $42 million rate hike, even though neighboring jurisdictions such as Montgomery County said no. This raises questions about the possibility that D.C. council members might be in Pepco's pocket. There's been a lot of corruption scandals surrounding the D.C. government lately. On the 25th and 26th of September, members of RDC showed up first outside the Public Service Commission in the evening of the 25th, then in front of the Wilson Building, and later inside the Wilson Building, demanding that the D.C. government not approve the rate hike. Here's what things sounded like in front of the Public Service Commission on the evening of the 25th of September.
We got the Pepco is greedy pig, Public Service Commission in there. We got pennies being glued to the sidewalk.
Yeah. Let's not forget they go out of town to hire somebody else to contract them, and then they try to give us lower wages. Let's not forget that they have money on top of money and still asking you for money, the money you don't have.
That's right.
Let's not talk about those candlelight dinners that you hate, and I'm not talking about the romantic type.
Nope.
I'm talking about because they didn't do their job, because they invest in their own self. We coming down here with a venture. We coming down here with a purpose.
Yes.
We coming down here with a message.
Yes.
And the message is zero for Pepco.
Yes.
Zero for Pepco.
That's why Pepco don't deserve no type of rate increase. They do not deserve no more money from our pockets. Let them pay for their infrastructure and whatever else they're going to do with their money. With the huge profits that they robbed us of for giving us poor service. It makes no sense that Pepco will tell me that I couldn't even get no ice. Pepco don't care about its customers. Zero for Pepco.
Zero for Pepco.
On the 26th of September, D.C. residents showed up outside the city council to protest against Pepco's proposed rate hike and demand that the Public Service Commission refuse to approve a $42 million rate hike, supposedly to cover the expense of burying power lines that could just as easily be paid for by reducing the huge bonus and salaries earned by Pepco's senior officials.
Now they want to ask for $5 billion.
Oh, man.
$5 billion to put in underground lines.
Oh,
now here go the kicker. They want Washington, D.C. to foot the bill.
Protesters suggested that instead of Pepco demanding billions of dollars in taxpayer subsidies from the city and a $42 million rate hike on top of that, that Pepco could pay for burying power lines by reducing CEO Joe Rigsby's $7 million a year salary and the huge bonuses paid to other top Pepco executives.
To take part that $7.6 million that he makes, and he can put the underground lines in over on Southern Avenue 4 miles by his salary alone. And they pay their fair share in taxes, they can take care of the whole city with a surplus of $433 million.
Yes, yeah.
So this is our voice. This is our voice. Joe, forfeit half of your salary.
Yeah.
Your board members, forfeit that 28% rate, that $25,000 you get just for showing up once a month. That was the race. Joe Briggs, Pepco, invest in Washington, D.C., and hire D.C. residents. That's what we're going here to say. You don't get one red penny from Washington, D.C. Let the Public Service Commission rule for the people. Stop taking out my pocket for Pepco
and my pockets.
And go let that green card turn me around. Turn me around. Turn me around. And go let that green card turn me around. Go keep on walking. Keep on talking. Marching to the freedom land.
At that point, protesters marched on the doors of the Wilson Building and went in to let city officials know in person what they thought of the proposed Pepco rate hike. And when the city approved 60% of the rate hike, protesters threw pennies on the floor to show their displeasure with city officials acting like they're in Pepco's pocket.
Well,
27th of September. Over 100 protesters showed up at the Wisconsin Avenue headquarters of Fannie Mae, demanding nothing less than an end to foreclosures and evictions. Five were arrested after blocking Wisconsin Avenue in the middle of the day, causing massive traffic jams. The other protesters were not even close to finished. At about 3 p.m., Freddie Mac's headquarters in McLean, Virginia, found themselves under siege by the same protesters. Among them was D.C. retired EMT paramedic Deborah Harris, trying to get Freddie Mac to meet with her before a September 28th foreclosure hearing.
Son of the gods, today we shall die. Open